Layer 312, 1932 election campaign. A text panel about 2 feet down along this wall to your right reads, "Choosing Roosevelt. I pledge you, I pledge myself to a new deal for the American people." Franklin Roosevelt, acceptance speech, Democratic National Convention, July 2, 1932. The way Americans chose presidential candidates in 1932 was far different from today. Primaries and caucuses played a minor role. Nominations were settled by party leaders in smoke-filled rooms at national conventions. At the Democratic Convention in Chicago, FDR faced formidable rivals, including the party's 1928 nominee, Al Smith, and House Speaker John Nance Garner. Roosevelt led in early balloting, but could not reach the necessary two-thirds majority. Fearing attention might shift to another candidate, FDR's advisors negotiated a deal with Garner. His supporters switched to FDR, and Garner received the vice presidential nomination. With Garner's votes, Roosevelt won on the fourth ballot. In those days, presidential nominees did not appear at party conventions. FDR defied that tradition, flew to Chicago to accept the nomination, and electrified the delegates with his call for a New Deal. On the wall to the left of this text panel is a plexiglass display case that juts out from the wall about 6 inches. Inside are three yellowed, handwritten pages. One page is a draft of FDR's speech accepting the nomination for the presidency in Chicago on July 2, 1932. The draft of the speech's final page includes the simple New Deal phrase that gave a name to an era. There is also a note written by FDR to the 1932 Democratic National Convention, suggesting that he fly to Chicago to accept the nomination in person. No previous nominee had ever done this. Another 6 feet along this wall is a set of two text panels which talk about FDR's 1932 election campaign and results. 1932 election campaign. These unhappy times call for the building of plans that build from the bottom up and not from the top down, that put their faith once more in the forgotten man at the bottom of the economic pyramid. We are in the midst of an emergency at least equal to that of war. Let us mobilize to meet it. Franklin Roosevelt, Forgotten Man speech, April 7, 1932. The 1932 campaign was one of the most momentous in American history. Saddled with responsibility for the Depression, President Hoover was deeply unpopular. FDR's advisors urged their candidates to play it safe. His running mate, John Nance Garner of Texas, told him, "All you have got to do is stay alive until Election Day." But FDR relished campaigning and wanted to show the country he was up to the job. He traveled to 41 states, making major addresses and hundreds of whistle-stop appearances. FDR offered few details about how he would attack the economic crisis, and some positions he adopted, such as a commitment to lower taxes and balance the budget, came back to haunt him later. But his energy, charm, and commitment to action carried him to a decisive victory. The second text panel, labeled ER on the campaign trail, reads, "I did not want my husband to be president. It was pure selfishness on my part, and I never mentioned my feelings on the subject to him." Eleanor Roosevelt, This I Remember, 1949. Eleanor Roosevelt was uneasy as the 1932 campaign began. An independent woman with deeply held progressive beliefs, she had spent years forging a career as a writer, teacher, and political activist. Now, at age 48, she feared life as a first lady would end her hard-earned professional and personal freedom. Nonetheless, she hid her feelings and campaigned hard for her husband, especially targeting women who had only had the right to vote for a dozen years. No candidate's wife in history had played such a public role on the campaign trail. About 6 feet further down on the right, a text panel talks about the 1932 election results. FDR won an historic mandate in 1932. After 3 years of economic depression, Americans decisively rejected President Hoover and the ruling Republican Party. Roosevelt defeated Hoover in a landslide, and Democrats seized control of Congress for the first time in 16 years. They dominated the new Senate by an overwhelming margin of 60 to 35 and enjoyed a 310 to 117 majority in the House. Voters handed Franklin Roosevelt and the Democrats a blank check. Their only demand was action. What the public and most Democratic leaders did not know was what form that action would take. From a position facing the wall, turn right and walk about 15 feet back to the tall blue panel at the head of the gallery. Turn right, walk about 8 feet, and turn right again. You will now be automatically redirected back to wherever you left off in the base message.